Everyone, welcome to QLV. I'm your host, Dr. Ashley Strange. Here on QLV, we're bringing leading-edge conversations about LGBTQ plus culture and community throughout the Lehigh Valley and across the world with interviews that will inspire acceptance and inclusion. I also serve as the Executive Director of the Advisory Commission on LGBTQ Affairs. While I want to be clear that I'm here hosting the show in my personal capacity, and all opinions I share are mine alone, I think you all should know that this work really inspires me, and my guests and I may discuss things that the incredible leaders on that commission are doing from time to time. I am delighted to introduce my friend Justin Parker Jefferson Fields. He's the founder of Change Now, a local musical theater actor and activist, and the previous host of QLV, who will graciously pass the torch to me. Justin, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I threw the imaginary torch over to you across the table just now.
And I caught it.
She caught it.
Oh, good call. So I use they, them pronouns. Yes. Justin, what pronouns do you use?
I use he, him.
So this is honestly like a good intro to this.
It is.
So I used to use she, her pronouns. And now I am a trans non-binary person and I use they, them pronouns. And so what Justin did was exactly perfect. Justin, who has known me for years as she, her, was able to say, oop, give a little oops, give a sorry and give a change.
Let me correct myself. Yes.
Yeah. And so that's, I am so glad we got to start with that.
As am I.
Yeah. So, Justin, darling, we are here talking about pride. We are just seeing some nice little green leaves come out on the trees. We are getting our shorts out. We're having a good time. So, can you tell me, like, what pride means to you?
Yes. Pride for me means being able to live in my truth in public, not just in private. Just in the word itself, I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of who I love. I'm proud of the people that are like me and that are not like me because, you know, there's so many different intersectionalities. But it really just means owning who you are to me and just being proud of that, you know, not asking for really acceptance or acknowledgement because I'm going to be here regardless of that. But just knowing that I'm here and I'm queer and it's a cool thing for me.
So how do you describe your gender identity, your sexuality? How do you describe who you are when you say you're proud to be who you are?
Yeah, so I'm a gay black man. That's a conundrum in itself, right? I always say I'm a black gay man. I say gay black man, but I say black gay man because you see me first. Like my skin color is brown, right? And that's my identity that I grew up with and that I always have as a black person. That's why I identify myself as a black person who just happens to be gay. You know, and sometimes people can tell, sometimes they can't. It depends if they have to change the battery in their Gator. I don't know. But it's unique and it's special. And I wouldn't want it to be any other way because it's such a trippy ride. I love it. It really is.
What makes it trippiest for you?
Oh, what makes it trippiest for me is I don't think I knew until I got older how awesome it would be to be black and gay. Mm. Because there's this rhythm of who we are. There's a way we can communicate with compliments. Like, I'm like, okay, plaid shirt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just things that we get, right? I didn't always know how to own it or how to maneuver in society, even in my own personal life with that. And being 40 today, I can look back and say, wow, I'm really starting to own this. It happened in my 30s that late. And then at 40, it's just like, I am unapologetically me. It took me long enough, but in due time.
Yeah. And I think that journey of like finding yourself as a gay black man or as a black gay man, mm-hmm. yes, and both and.
Yeah.
Like finding that journey all along the way, do you feel like you understood yourself better than other people did, even as you were learning new things?
Yes, I always had this idea of who I was and who I was always going to be. There were just so many pressures coming in at me. Mm. And especially being Black gay youth growing up in the Black church, where you almost have to hide this because, you know, I was in the choir. When I say I was in the Black church, I was in the Black church. Revivals, Sunday school, Wednesday Bible study, everything. And, you know, when you hear the message that, you know, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you hear that growing up and you're so terrified to be who you are. So then, like, you try to hide that or conform. Mm. And that just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
That didn't work for me at all. So it was a lot to deal with. But, you know, maneuvering in and out and figuring out who I was, I wouldn't have wanted to go on a different journey or path.
Yeah, it really makes you who you are.
Yeah,
absolutely. It does. And so that's why, like, when it comes to June, Pride Month,
yes,
like you were saying, like, this is who I am and this is who I can be unashamed.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause sometimes there is a lot of shame in that. But when it comes to Pride is often an event. So, you know, there are flag raisings, typically. There are community resources that are shared at, like, tables and events. There are performances. It can be like a whole event, you know, bars, you know, like, yes, to take up with it. I think Philly Black Pride was sponsored by Crown Royal.
It probably is a fact, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, what was do you remember the first Pride event that you went to?
Yes, I have two first, right? So my first Pride event was Lehigh Valley Pride. Way back in the day, I think I was probably 21. For those who don't know, I'm 40 years old now. I think it was 21, 22. This is back when they used to have it at Cedar Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fun. Because it was like folks we would always see at Stonewall, or we would see at, you know, Diamonds and, yep, Candida's. Well, we didn't go to Candida's. When you were 20, like, you didn't go to Candida's. You didn't go there until, like, you were 30 or something, you,
right,
know? And then when we started going to Candida's, it was like, oh, now we're the old gays. But it was so much fun because it was drag shows and it was bingo. And it was just seeing your friends and, you know, trying to color coordinate outfits. We used to do that back in the day. And it was just all of this fun and excitement and being around people who looked like you, who act like you, who loved like you. And it was, you know, it was kind of an enclosed, protected environment, even though Cedar Beach is, like, open to everybody and everything. It was just fun and magical. And every part after that, I always felt like it was fun, but you never, like, get over your first experience, right?
Right.
And then me and my friends, our first New York Pride experience was just out of this world.
D-me.
Out of this world. There were eight of us, and we rented a motel room in Jersey, all eight of us, and two double beds, a couch. It was horrible. Taking every type of bus, train, and taxi to get to New York City,
yep,
with, like, $100 in our pocket, right? But it was the experience. Mm. We had so much fun. Like, just the planning, going to that, okay, this is the outfits we're going to wear, and we're going to, you know, looking back, we looked so crazy. I don't know, we thought we had fashion sense. And just seeing everybody on the pier, and then being in New York, it's New York City.
Mm.
I mean, come on. And it was just such an experience and an event. So, like, whether it was, like, you know, small town like Allentown or big city like New York City, it's togetherness and it's pride and it's looking to your left and to your right and saying, I belong here. I'm supported from people that look like me, act like me, love like me, talk like me, dance like me, sashay like me, snap like me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just beautiful. It was beautiful.
That's so fantastic. And it's going to both kind of see and be seen.
Yes.
You know? And when we talk about the closet, when we talk about being in the closet or coming out of the closet, you know, sometimes, like you said, you're wearing all kinds of stuff because you... Mm-hmm. Getting dressed in the dark.
Yeah.
And when you come out, it's observing other people. I know that the first time I went to Philly Pride, that's how it was. It was this huge event that had, you know, people from all over, and I could just sit and I could kind of people watch and I could say, this, I feel comfortable here.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of what Pride is supposed to be. And it's also with the understanding that what makes me comfortable might not be what makes you comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's not just about tolerance. It's about kind of understanding what what to expect there. So now it's been a minute since your first Pride, but the Lehigh Valley has changed somewhat since then. There are more Prides now. There are more Pride events. There are more Pride shows. When you're going to Pride, what can you expect going to Pride this year in the Lehigh Valley?
Okay, well, I don't know. I might have some insight just because I was a previous Lehigh Valley Pride Grand Marshal. You know, I don't want to toot my own horn. Beep, beep. No. Beep, beep. I can't say so much for this year, but what I can say is just from previous Pride experience, because I think it was like Grand Marshal like 2 years ago. But even then, at the time, it was at the GCC. Now it's, you know, and it still stacks. What you can expect is an awesomely good time. I mean, even just starting with like with the vendors, there are so many tents and tables out there with resources, freebies, goodies, but really big on the resources and the knowledge and information sharing, especially with our community and protection and just getting past stigmas and whatnot. You can expect some good food. You can expect some good drinks, some amazing entertainment. And it's a lot of fun and love and a good time. There's a quiet space as well that I remember, you know, because everyone's not, you know, out and loud. You know, everyone, like, there's people that are reserved and there's room for all of us. There's, you know, a kid and a teen space. There's something for everyone, I feel like, which is what Pride is about, inclusivity.
Yeah.
There's like something for everyone and everybody to either do or not do, walk fast, jog, drink soda or water, whatever you want to do, you belong and you're invited. And it's just that, it's that inclusivity and that welcoming where if you're not experiencing that in your personal life, you're experiencing that there. I remember we had a table 1 year for Change Now where we had free mom hugs because that's, you know, that's an issue within our communities, you know, that a lot of people are kicked out or, you know, they're blacklisted from their family, and to have like a hug from your mom or have a hug from, you know, a dad who's like, hey, I know I'm not your mom. I know I'm not your dad. I know I'm not your big brother, you know, big sister, big whoever. I'm here if you want a hug. And if you don't want to touch, that's fine. We can do high fives, whatever the case may be, but it's whatever you want. And it's that acceptance and inclusivity that you can expect.
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of what keeps me coming back to all the different prides. And there's a bunch of different prides that we'll get to talk about. I know that I've personally put together a list of 75 prides in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
In 2024. So
can there's, you hear me snapping?
Yeah. Okay. And so, like, you know, there's so many opportunities to see and be seen, and making sure that there's space for the folks that have come out and have been out for a while, the folks that aren't yet comfortable coming out, but they're there as allies, you know, the folks that are bringing maybe their parents for the first time. I think that all of that is what all of these Pride events, whether you're going to a drag bingo in a coffee shop, or if you're going to a New York Pride or a Philly Pride, wherever you're going, it's important to be known and understood.
Yeah.
So thanks, Justin. We're going to take a short break. We are talking with our guest, Justin Parker Jefferson Fields, about Pride here on QLV. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to QLV. We are here with Justin Parker Jefferson Fields, and now we will continue our conversation about Pride in the Lehigh Valley. So we talked a lot about kind of what we can expect at different prides and like the different people you'll see there. There's all kinds of different flags. There's different food. There's drinks. There's all kinds of stuff. And we talked a lot about resources. So you said that Change Now had a table with the free mom hugs. Can you talk a little bit about what it meant to have a free mom hug at an event like this?
It was very special, and it meant a lot to the people that were receiving the hugs and those and the moms that were given the hugs, especially my mom in particular. My best friend Greg had passed away unexpectedly. And, you know, he was also a gay black man. And his mom, Miss Christine, this was, I want to say, pretty shortly after he passed away, she was one of our moms giving mom hugs out. So as reassuring it was, and as it was for those receiving the hugs, it was also so special to her to be able to give, you know, someone's son or daughter a hug because she didn't have her child mm-hmm. anymore. And so it's these things, you know, and people, they didn't know that just from looking at her. But it's these things where it's like you never know how you're going to affect somebody. So as much as they needed that hug, she needed that hug from them as well.
Right.
And it was so important for us to be able to provide that. And then just the information as well. You know, we housed so many unsheltered individuals mm-hmm. probably for the past two and a half, three years, which is another issue, you know, plaguing our community. And so Pride brings us all together, but it's really important to look at the ugly details as well. You know, those people that still show up, you know, in New York City at the pier or locally, you know, at Lehigh Valley, it's just one day to be able to say no stress, no issues, you know, but also too, to ensure that you're going around and getting needed resources, whether it's, you know, after school programs or bullying prevention or, you know, suicide prevention, housing, food issues, all that information is provided. Not only like they have really bright pride, but you can get resources and get connected to others who can help you along the way as well once you go home that day, or if you even have a home to go to.
Right. I mean, as a gay Black kid living in the Lehigh Valley growing up here, like, what are some of the resources that you wish someone had given to you?
I wish I had like a peer mentoring program or a place where people like me could just go and hang out and be free. You know, kids will be kids. So if I sat down as a kid and I crossed my legs, oh, you're gay. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Right.
But I was. I knew since I was 5 years old. There was this cartoon, I'm gonna age myself here, back in the 80s called Jim.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Barbie mm-hmm. cartoon. And I didn't want Jim. I wanted Ken. And I thought that was normal for me, right? It was just those things. Like, I wish I had mentoring resources, like, you know, after school, you know, situations. There was a brief period of time where I was unsheltered in my early 20s. And I wish I knew of any resources back then mm-hmm. then to assist me, you know, at that time. A lot of people don't understand or realize is that being unsheltered or homeless doesn't technically mean like, you know, like, well, one, yeah, if you don't have a home, but also two, if you're couch surfing
right.
or if you're staying with friends, that also constitutes as that. And so I wish that there were resources that were available back in the day. But even now, the resources that are available today are so limited, especially with funding and availability. There's just not enough to go around, and we really need to do more and advocate more. But I really wish I had those resources back then.
Yeah, and I think that there is that, like, a lot of the resources, yes, they're going to cost time and money. And there are some good places, like we know the Bradbury Sullivan Center. Yeah. Silk Lehigh Valley has, like, a great new drop-in center in Allentown. You know, Valley Youth House with their Synergy program for, you know, unhoused youth and things like that. And, like, there are a lot of kind of these physical spaces that have resources. But part of the thing that still kind of gets me about the free mom hugs, as someone whose mom passed away, I kind of react a little differently to hugs. And I went to, I think it was Doylestown Pride last year, and they had, and I wasn't really in the mood for a hug, but they had Take a Hug. And it was just like a little yarn ball that you can take with you.
An alternative.
Yeah. And you'd stick it on your keychain and you kind of, you know, squeeze it or look at it and know that someone loved you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a big thing. A lot of the, when we talk about trans kids and we talk about protecting trans kids, a lot of times, you know, things that cost money are not the answer. We're not looking for, you know, some of them are looking for surgery and medicine and things like that. But the biggest thing that we can do for trans youth in our communities is social, uh-huh. is like understand their pronouns, understand their new names, understand like, well, I won't need to buy you frilly dresses anymore. Like, yeah. You know, we can start getting hand-me-downs from your brother. You know, like it's all about like a lot of the social resources. And yeah. So when we think about, you know, who in the community is doing that? Yes, absolutely. Like, donate to, like, Eastern PA Trans Equity Project and the Bradbury Sullivan Center and Silk Lehigh Valley. All of these places are amazing, and they do that good, hard work. And there are things that people can do individually to make little Justin, like all the little Justins out there, to make him feel welcome, feel like he's part of something. If you could tell somebody, an adult that you interacted with as a kid, if you could tell somebody, like, hey, do this instead to, like, make me feel a little more whole, what would you tell them?
That's a hard question. It's hard for me because this bubble that I put myself in as a kid, you know, in the closet and, you know, not knowing how to interact, I had so much love for my family. From my great-grandparents, my grandparents, mom, aunts, uncles, my family was really just waiting for me to come out the closet. You know what I mean? And it wasn't until I got older that I understood the privilege in that. Because it is a privilege to have that acceptance and that love from your family, where they're not going to judge you or call you out of your name because of that, but they let me really do it in my time. And a lot of it really was all the stuff I had in my head of the what ifs, that I thought that these big, bad, scary things were going to happen, and they didn't. So that's why, like, for me, it's hard for me to say, like, because there's nothing that I would want my uncles or my aunts to say differently or do differently, because to this day, they show me nothing but love. And, like, I come from a big family. Like, my great-grandfather was one of 14 children. And so there are a lot of Parkers out there, okay, a lot. And so the love and the acceptance was always there. It was just always in his time, you know, in his own time. And once it was my time to, like, communicate that, come out to my family, they were like, oh, okay, because we were just, like, you were taking too long, right? It was one of those things.
The closet was locked from the inside.
They were just like, come on out. We're waiting for you. But there was a privilege in that. So for me, I'm privileged and blessed to say I wouldn't have any adults around me at the time do anything different, because I was never harmed or injured or made to feel a certain way. Yeah, in church, you know, that was like preacher and the way it was, but that was the Black church as a whole. You know what I mean? But I can't say that I would have anything different, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Like, because that's what we want. Like, we want to be listened to, and we want to be loved. That's it.
Yeah.
Some people want to be loved from a distance.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And that's okay too. Yeah.
And I think that there's this idea, you know, as we kind of grow into adults and our whole lives become our work. Have you ever worked for a place that says, like, oh, we're like your family?
Yes. And, you know, I worked for Paychex back in the day, like back in the day. And I was never made to feel like less or anything like that. But I just remember, like, I was in my early 20s, and, you know, when we say, like, we're like, you know, we're proud and, like, pride events, it was different back then, like in the early 2000s, where now I feel like it's, even though there's traumas and stories and whatnot, it's more normal. I feel like more acceptable, like, for us to be able to be like, yeah, this is who I am. Oh, you too? Oh, okay, see, we're good. Whereas, like, we were, you know, the few, the proud, the Marines, right? Back in the day. So, like,
The salute looked a little different.
You know, it was a little different. I never had a picture of my significant other on my desk. Or when I did speak about him, it was, oh, my best friend, right? My ex-boyfriend, his name was Johnny. It's my best friend, Johnny. I remember I had this coworker, Jamira. She was a Black female, and, you know, she unfortunately unalived herself a few years ago. But she was the first person I came out to in the workplace. And it was funny because I had invited her to my son Shamir's first birthday. Now, Ashley knows, but for those who don't know, my son's turning 17 this June. So this is his first birthday. So that's how long, you know, I knew him. This was 17 years ago. And she got to the birthday party. She's like, hey, where's Johnny? And I'm like, who? She's like, Johnny. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, he's not here. He's not going to be here. She's like, oh, I thought, you know, that's your best friend. He would have been here. And it was just one of those things where it's like, let me just talk to you. And it was such, it was like the logic. It was such a sigh of relief. I still didn't have any pictures of him up at my desk. But to know that somebody knew my secret, which shouldn't have been a secret, but to know, like, friends for life. And I just felt like that one small sigh of relief, even though it wasn't, you know, a whole sigh of relief. And then fast forward, my job Freedom Pay sent me and Kevin flowers when we got married.
Aww.
So like, you know, so talking about like, you know, where, you know, your job says like they're like your family. Yes, to a certain extent, yes. But then also too, realizing and understanding that certain things such as, you know, protections in the workplace.
Yeah.
Respect, acceptance, things like that. That also, you know, is a part of being a family. So that needs to trickle down and be a part of the environment and permeate and all that as well.
Absolutely. And so like in interpersonal relationships, like just, you know, love on people and listen to people, yeah, like in your family, and then at work, you know, just make sure that you're also listening to your employees. And if you think that you are a safe person to come out to, maybe like check yourself a little bit, yeah, like make sure. And there are resources for allies at these Pride events too.
Yes.
There's a bunch of stuff online. There's a bunch of, you know, you can call me and Kevin directly.
And allies are so important, because what people don't understand is that an ally is sometimes a person in a position of power,
mm-hmm,
or the position to start that conversation.
Right.
It's I can scream all day, like, you know, we need to have, like, you know, gay rights and protections for our community. But unless somebody who's not experiencing that directly, like they may have like a family member or a son or, you know, a daughter or a friend who's experiencing that, but unless they're not experiencing that directly, then it's like, okay, I'm hearing it from you, even though you should be hearing it from us. That allyship is so important,
mm-hmm,
because those are the conversation starters. Those are the ones who, you know, who say, hey, wait a minute. And they're like, how can that offend you? You're not gay. It's still offensive.
Yes.
And they can have those conversations and try to have those learning moments with other people.
Absolutely. And, you know, just because you don't know that someone is out around you, that doesn't mean that they are not. Because we're out here.
Oh, like, yeah.
I only came out to myself like 5 years ago, and we're out here,
yeah,
let me tell you. So you mentioned it oh so briefly, but you recently had your name changed.
Yes.
You slapped that man's name on top of your name.
Ta-da.
So tell me about, our next episode is going to be on marriage in the Lehigh Valley for queer people. And just in, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but share with me, you know, what it was like to finally get married to your husband.
That was just wow. Because I remember growing up, I grew up in a world where gay marriage wasn't allowed.
Mm.
And so then even after it was allowed, you know, I was not married, because I take it very seriously. So to be able to marry my best friend of 9 years, like on our 9-year anniversary, and to have you officiate, which is so amazing.
You're welcome.
You know, but to have my mom there, my best friend and others there, it was amazing to say like, hey, we can do this. We can walk down this aisle. And it really felt real when we had the marriage certificate in our hand.
Right.
You know, and it was like, boom, you know, it was another step of normalcy,
mm-hmm,
that we had, because if anything happens to me, you know what I mean? Like, I know there's, you know, a marriage in place, and I know there's beneficiary stuff in place with whatever the case may be, life insurance, 401k, all that stuff like that. But we were able to do that, and it felt great.
Cuddle buddy for life.
Yeah. Hello.
Well, thank you so much for talking. I'm so glad that I could have Justin Parker Jefferson Fields right here with the Parkers. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. You can find all of our past episodes and other public affairs programs at WDIY.org, on the WDIY app, and on major podcast platforms. I'm Dr. Ashley Strange, and this is WDIY 88.1. We'll see you next time on QLV.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to WDIY.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.